doer of the word and not a hearer only. Anyone ever read that scripture before? It's James 1:21, and I've got this little series. I'm going to take my hat off now because I won't be able to concentrate. And we're doing a series right now, and it's. I tell you what, when you're leading a church, when you're ministering, you've got to move with what God is wanting to do. Oh, amen. Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
You do. And you've got to, one of the reasons that I encourage you like I do, say, come on, sing, you know, come on, lift your voice, is not because, you know, I'm just G-ing you up. It's because the anointing of God is what enables people to minister. And the hungrier you are, and the more enthusiastic you are, and the more tuned you are, and the more focused you are, and the more open your heart is, and the more louder you sing, and the more involved your physical body is, the more your heart is prepared and hungry to receive the word of God. And it's like, no, I'm not a machine, but I'm a gift, if you like, from God. That's my job, is to bring God's presence and God's word into your life. And you're like a vacuum cleaner, you know. And the harder you suck, the more stuff you get. Amen. I don't mean, you know, some people are the wrong kind of vacuum cleaner, you know. There's a happy enough room until they walk in, you know what I mean? And they just suck all the joy, you know that? Some people, I love those signs that put on their walls in their offices sometimes. There's everybody makes me happy. Or some, I forget exactly how it says, but some people bring me joy when they arrive and others bring me joy when they leave. You seen those things? I like those kind of signs. Of course, that's not what I'm saying to you this morning, but listen, you know, like so if I'm in a room and I've got gold dust to put into your life, say, I'm a container of gold dust, and your vacuum cleaners are on, you know, that's your heart, your spirit, like this. And if there's not a lot of vacuum going on, there's not very much energy, not very high level of sucking going on, then I'm just sitting here with this gold dust, which is, I'm just using terminology, God, whatever it is, but something from God. Are you with me? Word and anointing from God. Are you with me? That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what a minister is supposed to do. So the way I'm speaking to you now, you know, it's like some people think, well, I've never thought about it like that. Well, I don't know where we've been, because that's the bottom line of ministry. I don't know what people thought ministry was. But I'm supposed to carry something from heaven that's supposed to get into you. That's the whole idea. If you don't get something out of it, then why would you be here? Why would you go to the butcher and hand over your money and not walk out with any steak? This makes no sense to me. Why would you go to church and hand over your money and not get fed, not get anything? Actually, I'm not talking information. I'm just talking fed, spiritually imparted to, so that your life is changed. Why would you do that? It's one of the reasons that we have to teach on tithes and offerings. One of it is that I want you to honor God, because it's important that you honor God. Amen. And that's one of the ways you honor. You can't honor anybody without money. Honor and money go together. You know, if you're employing somebody and they're just a brilliant employee and they've doubled your sales, And they have opened all kinds of doors and done a great job, and you say, well, you're just fantastic, we're going to honor you, that will come down to getting paid more. And if they don't pay you any more, even though you're doing this great job, then they're really not honoring you. It's just talk. Somebody say amen. Just good preaching. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons we teach. Another reason that we teach about tithes and offerings is because people have got too used to, so used to, in too many churches. And I'm, you know, I love people, I love ministers very much. I'm all for supporting, but many times I feel the pain and the frustration and the problem with going to church and not getting anything, not sucking anything, and then see, well, who would pay any money, who would bring anything if you're not getting anything? It just makes no sense. And so, because we have had for too long in our nation churches and situations where there's not so much gold dust or whatever you want to call it, stuff, heavenly info, heavenly anointing, pouring over that pulpit into your life, well then of course common sense tells you, why would you put any money in the thing? And that's one, do you see what I mean? And so it takes two sides. It's not just saying to people, be faithful to God and bring to God what is His. That's what you ought to do. That's right. But that's only one side of it. My side of it, my responsibility is I better make sure that I've got some heavenly stuff that is putting stuff into your life, thoughts and ideas and anointings and truth and power and touch, so that something goes into your life and changes your life. That's the whole idea. That's Christianity right there. Amen. If you had different ideas of Christianity, I suggest you get rid of them because they're blocking you up. Amen. If you've got frustrated Christian life, if you feel like, oh my God, help my faith. Oh my God, help me to pray more. Just listen to me. Just listen to me and catch what's coming. Amen. Because that's my job. I'm supposed to carry something. I pastor people, we care for people, of course, we administrate, we organize. But all that is to facilitate the transfer of anointing and information and truth and power. Good morning, God bless you, glad you made it. And the truth and power and anointing and information and into your life so that you are changed. Amen. And I can tell, just like if you were we're dealing now with the spiritual realm. That's the area that you should be reasonably familiar with. If you're born again, you're a spiritual person. But certainly I ought to be an expert in that. Like a doctor is an expert in medical things. If I've done this for 20-something years, I ought to have some idea what I'm doing. Amen? And then I've been trained in whatever, and I keep on training, just like if you're a physiotherapist, you know, you keep your in-house training, or you're a teacher. We have set days where we keep training. Well, I'm training all the time. Train myself every day in different ways, attend certain conferences, meet certain people, pay certain amounts of money to maintain certain kinds of connections to keep stuff happening so that I'm kept in a good place so that you are blessed. Amen. And in the same way that in a physical world, if you were to bring in a purse, a plastic case full of gold dust, and you were to put it in a room of 20 vacuum cleaners, and the vacuum cleaners were relatively powerless, they weren't sucking very hard, you could tell because there wouldn't be a lot of gold dust moving around. They'd just go, and the gold dust would pretty much sit inside the plastic container. However, if you were in a room with a massive, great Hamilton jet type sucking like this, and just about suck the whole plastic thing over, and all, are you with me? All this gold dust would go flying into that machine, right? And if you had 20 suckers in this, you know, vacuum cleaners in this room, it's quite an interesting analogy. I've never thought of it before. I never heard anyone say that. I haven't stolen anyone's notes on this one at all. It's it's just hot off the wire this morning. And if I've got one that's sucking really hard and then the other 19 are just sucking softly, where's all the gold dust going to go? In the one that's sucking hard, right? So the whole object, what I'm saying all this to do is just be a big sucker. That's what I'm saying. Are you with me? That's really important, because just like you could tell physically looking in a room, I can tell spiritually. That's my job. I can tell whether there's very much sucking going on. And if there isn't enough sucking, I'm going to spend a few minutes telling you to start sucking. Are you with me? Start drawing. Start getting hungry. Don't get distracted. Don't worry. If somebody walks in late, I understand how that works. But stay focused. Have your Bible. Get hungry. Say, God, teach me. I want to know. I'm hungry to hear from God. The same people that fill in these prayer requests, you see. They say, God, help me with this. God, help me with that. Well, this is the big help. This is a major part of the help session right now. So don't fill in one of these and then say, oh, God, help, pray for this. But then don't turn up on time at church. And then don't pay attention to what I'm really saying. And then when I say lift your hands and sing hard, no. Get into it. Amen. Get hungry. If you will do that, you will get more out of one service than many people do out of a year. Not because there isn't necessarily any gold dust there, it's because you're sucking properly. Amen. Church of suckers, that's what I say. I might retitle the message. Sell more. I'll sell more if I do that, won't I? Just write a book called Be a Church of Suckers. Amen. But it's true that you're receiving something. And I can tell. Just like you could, if I could have five different sucking vacuum cleaners in a room, all with varying strengths, right? They're sucking different amounts. And you can tell because it's just where the gold dust goes. Well, I can tell exactly the same thing. That's what I'm supposed to be able to tell. So I'm looking at you thinking, he thinks, So you can't pretend. No, you really can't pretend. You put a smile on your face, but it's the sucking thing that I'm reading. Amen. The sucker meter. That's what I'm interested in. Amen. So just nudge the person next to you and say, keep sucking. You better tell the person on the other side, stay hungry. That might be better for you. That might be in a terminology you're more comfortable with. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. So this little series we're doing, Just Do It, we're going to touch on a few areas. We're going to run this maybe for, I think because we've got Christmas and New Year, this will probably run 6 or 8 weeks. And we're going to talk about things that from the point of view of James 1:22. You may want to turn to James 1:22, or if you're making notes, and I encourage you to make notes, there'll be a few thoughts that go up on the overhead, but I want to encourage you to bring your Bible. I want you encouraged to read your Bible, open your Bible, mark your Bible. If you want to write notes in soft format, that's fine with me. I don't matter to me as long as you read them and learn them and glean from them and suck them into your life. Amen. And so James 1:22, some of you have already pulled that up. It says something like this. It says, But be doers of the word rather than hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Is that more or less what it says? Be doers. So I'm talking about just do it. I'm reclaiming the phrase that Nike probably paid an awful lot of money to copyright. And I'm going to say, as Christians, we ought to be the just do it people. You know, the whole concept, just do it. Get on and do it. We suffer a lot in our Western world with mental, what I would call mental acquiescence, mental agreement, but we don't actually do anything. Oh, yes, we agree with that concept. Yes, we think that's true. But actually, if your life actions don't change, then you really don't agree. And that's what it's talking about. Then you're in that self-deceived zone. Don't be a hearer only. There are people that hear. Oh, yes, we listen. Oh, did you hear what he said? Yeah. Did you read the Bible? Did you hear what it said? Oh, yes. Did you get your e-thoughts this week? Oh, yes, weren't they good? Are you doing anything different? I talked recently on the e-thoughts about forgiveness. And it was good. Really to help people how to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. You're going to have problems in your life. And Jesus won't flex on it. He just said, if you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. You sit there and say, well, how dare he? He made the rules, you know what I'm saying? You can't change the rules to suit yourself. And what you'll find is if you'll learn to forgive, your life will be so much better. God only ever makes instructions to help your life. He doesn't set rules for the sake of rules. He sets, you know, and that's important for you to get, especially some of you guys that are at school and younger people, because they feel like, oh, the school rules, you know, like we've got to do this, we've got to do that. Parents' rules, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do. And it's almost like your default can be, yeah, rules are a problem. Rules are like, oh, they just set rules, you know, why don't we have no rules, you know. And that is almost like an ideology that people appeals to people, especially younger people. But with God, he sets guidelines in place because you're going to be happier, more blessed, and life is going to work well for you if you follow his guidelines. Every single one of his guidelines is that way. There's not one thing that God told you to do that won't help your life. But if you don't do, if you don't follow the guidelines, it'll work against you. And, you know, it's not condemnation. It's like, oh, you made a mistake now, God's... No. It's more like, look, keep sex within marriage. It's good. It's a rule, but it's a guideline. Why? Because your life will get better. you won't get any sexually transmitted diseases. You know, if you're at school, STDs, is that what they call them? There's all this instruction they've got to do. All this teaching, all this, oh, how you get them, what they look like, blah, 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 blah. All the school kids have to deal with and the parents have to deal with, should the school be telling our kids, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. You know, if you only had sex with the person you'd married, there'd be no STDs. There'd be no AIDS. Massive problem, AIDS. Let's give all this money to Africa to help them with that. Massive problem. And I'm not being uncompassionate. I'm just saying, if we followed the instructions that God gave, you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have that problem. Poverty all over the world. If people followed the instructions that God gave, there'd be no poverty. Every one of God's instructions is to help your life. He's a genius. He knows how to live. Amen? That'd be good enough preaching. Really, that's enough. We could end now and it's helped you enough, hasn't it? You've been helped this morning? So the sucking machines are on a little bit more now. I still want more. But that's helped you, hasn't it? And it's good to know that every one of God's instructions. But the thing here, what he's saying, the premise of this whole little thing, and I'm not going to spend this much time on James 1:22 because this is just introductory, but the premise is when God says do it, just do it. And that'll have its challenges. Forgive, for instance. Forgive. Well, that'll have challenges. But once you've got to make the step from deciding, yeah, forgiveness must be a good thing because God said it, so yeah, I agree with it. But actually, if you're walking around with unforgiveness in your heart, then it's not doing you any good. And if you agree with one thing mentally and don't do it, then that's the self-deceived zone. You want to stay out of that, amen? Because self-deceived won't help you. Somebody say good preaching. All right, keep the vacuum cleaners on, will you? Keep them switched, just nudge the person next to you and say, keep revving. Keep revving. Let's have a look at a couple of thoughts. My thought today, talking about just do it, I want to talk about the single thing in the time we have left now. The single thing, I'm talking about just do it is the framework. But in terms of what do we do, the single thing that probably has more impact on your life than any other one thing. And it's your inward thinking. It's the way you think on the inside of you. Turn, if you have your Bible, to Proverbs 23. And one other verse, 3 John 2. Proverbs, in a minute, I'll get Grace just to pop up a couple of things on the screen and they will spin around and you'll get some notes from that. But turn to Proverbs 23 verse 7 and 3 John verse 2. Proverbs 27 says, as some of you know it, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Say it with me. As I think in my heart, so I am. And the context there is a miserly man. And what it's saying is, you know, if he thinks miserly, he's going to live miserly. It's kind of like, what was that film? Stupid Is, Stupid Does? What was that film? Forrest Gump. Was it Stupid Is, Stupid Does? Yeah. In other words, what you think on the what you do is coming out of the inside of you. That's really important to understand that. As a man thinks in his heart, you think a certain way in your heart, in the inside. And when it says their heart, in your heart, it doesn't really work to try and divide it between kind of your spirit and your mind. It's your inward person. And I'll explain to you why that is. But deep down on the inside, you see yourself a certain way. You have a certain image of yourself. You know that in modern vernacular, we'll talk about self-image. You'll see yourself a certain way. And you'll have certain thoughts about yourself. Now, people have thoughts about me. My wife has thoughts about me. Very positive thoughts. And my father and my mother, they have certain thoughts about me. And we've got a couple of dogs. And they have certain... The great thing about the dogs is they just will do whatever I tell them. They have certain thoughts. They just think, if I will just obey the master, I'll get the food. So I will just pour the food. I don't even have to say anything now. I pour the food into the bowls. You know what dogs are mostly like? They will just and I just look. And they won't eat it. And I can wait for 10 minutes. I love that about the dogs. I can wait for 10 minutes. You just wait there until I'm good and ready for you to eat, and then you can eat. You can actually put food on their paws, on Abby anyway, on her paws, and she won't eat it until you let her eat it. That's dealing with me anyway. I'm not sure about everyone else. But I like that about it. They have certain thoughts. The dogs just think, oh, yes, we better obey his instructions. He's the Lord and Master. I like that. And then there are people, you know, in the public that have certain thoughts. Some people really like me. Some people really don't like me. But actually, that doesn't determine what my life becomes. And then God has certain thoughts about me. You know that, don't you? And he has certain thoughts about you. He thinks certain things about me. But even that doesn't determine my life. What determines my life is what I think myself about myself. It's really important to understand that. Because some people think, oh, what about God? Well, God has given you certain instructions on how to think. But he doesn't do your thinking for you. And he's not a magic wand where you receive Jesus and he just magically waves and all of a sudden all your thoughts are changed. No, if you thought negatively before you met Jesus, you'll tend to think negatively after you met Jesus. If you tend to worry before you met Jesus, you'll tend to worry after you met Jesus. Because change comes two ways. Change comes by the way of the anointing, the presence of God impacted into your life, and it comes according to the way you think, your mindset. And I can lay hands on people and impart anointing and impart healing and impart the presence of God, but you can't impart a mindset. You're responsible for your mindset. So whatever life you're living in now, let's flick up these thingos now, Grace, would we? Whatever life you're living in now, you're living as a result of how you think about yourself on the inside. Here we go. What you believe in your heart, can we get that too? That's gone away quickly. Are they spinning around? Can you go back to that one for me? Because they should sit off for a little while on that one, yeah? It froze? Mm-hmm. Let's unfreeze this sucker. How are we doing? Just give me an idea. If we're going to be 2 seconds, fine. If we're going to be 20 seconds, I need to talk. All right, okay. So, Proverbs 23 tells me that the way I think, that's how I am. Are you with me? My inner thoughts. 3 John 2 is the other scripture I mentioned to you. And that says, this is John praying, the great apostle John, and he says, some versions say I pray, some versions say I wish. So for some of the Christians that don't like to say I wish, you know, it's in the Bible there. He says, I wish or I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, that life would go well for you, is what that word prosper means, that things work well for you, that your life is wholesome, that your health is good, that your family relationships are good, that your finance is good, that you're achieving the dreams of your life. That's what he's wishing. That's what he's praying. That's the will of God. I pray for you. And then it says, even as your soul prospers. You might have it there in your version. Even as your soul prospers. And that's really the New Testament way of saying the same thing that Proverbs 23 said. You're going to prosper in your life. You're going to prosper in your health. You're going to prosper in your studies. You're going to prosper in your marriage. You're going to prosper in raising your kids. You're going to prosper in conquering difficulties in accordance with how much your soul prospers. Your soul has to do with thinking. The way you think about yourself. Now, there's definitely a God input in that thing. I'm just trying to describe it for you because the way it's talking about the same thing. The way you think about yourself on the inside determines the outside. All right, now, let me read you another verse and that you can, it'll come up on the screen in a minute, but it's Jesus speaking in Luke 6:45, and he says this, he says, look, out of the good stuff in a man's heart, if there's good stuff, he brings good stuff out. If there's evil stuff, he brings evil stuff. In other words, what's in your heart comes out. Are you still with me? Stay with me. I know you're a bit bothered about the screen, but just stay with me. And as a man, and then it says that the mouth speaks the overflow of the heart. Whatever's there's lots of in your heart, on your inside, in your inner person, the way you think about yourself, according to 3 John 2, your soul, if you like, then, this inward thinking, your mouth will speak that. And then James chapter 3, that'll come up on the screen in a minute as well. James chapter 3, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, talk about your words. And it says, in the same way, stay with me now, this is important that you catch this, the same way that you put a bit in a horse's mouth, and that little bit tells this big animal which way to go, and in the same way that a massive boat on the ocean, like the Titanic, will avoid a iceberg or hit an iceberg, according to the rudder, a relatively small part. If they had steered the Titanic differently, there'd be a whole lot of movies and television stories that we wouldn't have today. If we'd steered it differently, there'd be a lot of lives saved, you know? Because where it goes depends on that little thing, which is a pretty small part of the whole thing. And it says, in the same way your tongue sets the whole course of your life. So what's in your heart, you speak, and what you speak sets the course of your life. Now, in the Christian church, here we go, your happiness in life, your peace, your joy is not decided by your circumstances. That's the second slide, but it's okay. And then we're going to go to the third one. Can we go back? Yeah, can you pop back to the first one? That'd be really cool. That's it. There's the three references for you if you want to write them down. What you believe in your heart, your inner thoughts determine what you speak, and that determines the entire course of your life. So where you are today, whether you're happy, medium happy, not very happy, credibly happy, excited, fulfilled, partially fulfilled, is controlled by what's been in your heart over the last however many years you've lived. Somebody say amen. Is that helping you this morning? And God can come into your life and you can receive Jesus and be born again and be a new creature. But if you don't change the thinking about yourself on the inside, then most of what God has for your life will never happen, because what changes it is your inward thinking. Are you with me now? So that ought to change the way you think about life. That ought to way you think about prayer. Some of you are praying about things that prayer is not going to fix. There's no point saying, God, change my heart. You've got a responsibility. I mean, you can pray it and it's a good heart intention and God will help you. But at the end of the day, if you don't do something about it, nothing will be done. There's no point saying, God, make me do this. He'll say, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't come running to me. Because he's a good father. And we've got in the Christian church too many people that are frustrated, that are living less than what they could live, and they think, if I pray, it'll fix it, because nobody taught them much what I'm teaching you now. And they pray and it doesn't fix it, and then they get in this kind of awkward, strange Christian life. We've got to change all that. Amen. Amen. It's according to the way you think, the pattern of thinking you have on the inside. So let me, and then this will keep let that keep running, because that'll just keep telling you some other things. Let me give you just a really simple example. And we'll pick up from here. Next week is Christmas service, yeah? So we're going to lash out and have a blast Christmas. I need you to be here and I need you to bring friends and I need us to rock this place. Amen. Get the band cranking. We'll have mince pies and do a bit of it. We're doing a great job. The hospitality guys do great. But we're going to have that. We're going to have a great item from Tara, great item from Sam. These guys are serious performers. They're going to be as good as, you know, as I mean, they've just been in the final of the Time to Shine thing. You can see it online. Search Time to Shine and have a look at what these guys can do. It's great. You know, you can go to the West End and pay a lot of money for a similar kind of thing, or you can pay a couple of bucks to park here in the local parking, or find free parking and come here and bring your friends and see something great for nothing. Amen. And our kids and food. And then I'm going to preach, but I'm going to preach about Jesus. Is that all right with you? Since it's Christmas, I'm going to do my best. I just get pulled certain directions, but I'm going to do my best to talk about how awesome God is and why Jesus came, because I want you to bring friends, unsafe people, people who've never been to church, doesn't matter, drag them in, buy them, promise them that you'll take them out for Costa coffee afterwards, whatever you need to do. Amen? If you can get someone in the house of God and it's going to cost you £5, well, I'd do it. Amen? I'd look at my budget and I'd say, well, let's say I can afford £30 a week. That's 6 people I can bring every week to church. It's cost me £30. It's not that hard. I'd get the people in the house. I'm not saying you have to do that, just an idea. It's not a bad one, though. What do you think? Yeah. It's got potential? Yeah. You say, well, you know, £30, you must have more money than I. That's okay. If you hang around here, hang around, let me teach you. We'll help you to get blessed. We'll help you to get rich, because all God's instructions will help your life. When I say rich, it doesn't mean you live in a $1.5 million mansion and you don't have to work anymore. That's not rich, that's lazy. Amen. You're dreaming. Rich is when you've got a rich life, a full life. Rich is when all the needs that you have in your life are met. You know? And rich does mean that there's enough money to go around and enough money to do some things that you enjoy too. It does mean that as well. Amen. But God will make you rich in that definition of the word. Just got slightly sidetracked, but you're still with me here this morning, okay? I've got about 5 minutes left to preach, then I've got to close. So you're going to give me your best for 5 minutes? Are you with me? So we do the very best we can. I wanted to give you an example, didn't I? Of this, you know, your thinking. You see, some people think they don't have enough time. They just live like we don't have enough time, like they're racing against time all the time, and they're busy all the time. Some people live with this slight level of agitation, you know what I mean? And you can be like that. Oh, quickly, I've got to do this. And you can almost start to, and you're having a shower quickly. And then I'm having breakfast quickly. And then I've got to get, again, I've got to drive pretty quick. And I better try and run to get that tube, because if I don't get that tube, I'm nearly going to get it. And then at work, it can be like that. Oh, quick, the boss wants this. And you can live. Now, listen, you've got the same 24 hours everybody else has. And the fact that you feel rushed has got nothing to do with the time. It's got to do with you internally. You've got this thing going on the inside pushing you. Your inward picture. I've got to rush. So you could actually, you would get to the end of that day and feel like, man, I've been rushed all day. I mean, I've just been pressing against time all day and I'm tired now. And actually, you could have lived the whole day and done the same things, gone to work, caught the tube, whatever you had to do, right? Did what you did without thinking at all that you had to be rushed, and you would have got to the end of the day, achieved pretty much the same amount, quite possibly more, because you'd get more done if you're not stressed, and yet not been all wasted at the end of the day, because your internal picture was that you were rushed. Amen? Are you with me? It's your internal picture that needs changing. Now that's something you work on. I'm working with you now. I'm giving you some ideas. Another example. I was thinking about, for instance, when we spoke this morning, right? We talked about healing. Because I want to throw this thought out to you. What you think is quite possibly not what you really think. You need to write that one down. What you think is quite possibly not what you really think. When you're talking about down on the inside. So if I were to say to you, let me give you a really simple quiz. Stay with me here. Really simple quiz. We haven't got time to write it, but you can just do it mentally because you're that sharp. So 3-question quiz, right? 3-question quiz. Based on what the kind of thing we've taught you over the years here. Now, and question one would be, does God want me to live a blessed life? A, yes. B, no. And then question 2 would be, Does God want me to live in divine health? A yes, B no. And then question three would be, does God want to prosper me and cause me to have enough for all the needs that I meet? A yes, B no. Now, I am willing to bet, I don't even need to see hands, everyone will have got three A's, and you all got 100%. Give yourself a big hand. Eh? You all got 100%. But that didn't make you any more prosperous. And didn't make you any more healthy. And some of you will be sitting here with financial pressures, and some of you will be sitting here with health pressures, and some of you will be suffering with, why did God let this happen? But you just got 100% in the test. Why? Because what you think, you're only thinking at a surface level. It's what you really think down deep down on the inside that is controlling your life. That's what you've got to change. How do you know what you're really thinking then down on the inside? Let me tell you usually how it is. Usually, it's your first reaction. It comes out of the inside. So when I talked about, for example, healing was one example, but we talked about tithes and offerings this morning, remember that? And we talked about being blessed. And then we talked about the Love Our Church. Let me give you an example of how that, just a simple example of how that. Some people, test yourself, check yourself. Because I'm talking about your inward thinking. That's the issue that's important to me. The financial business is all secondary. It's the inward thinking that matters. Because if people give you £1 million and you've got the inward thinking wrong, you'll lose it all. Because you'll live according not to the money you've got, but to the inward thinking. And if you get a great job and you just get so favoured and it's ridiculous, like an uncle of mine who was going for a job once and one guy got sick, one guy got laid off, and then the guy who had the top job died. And in a really short space of time, he got this great job. And he's retired now. It was a long time ago. But, you know, that might happen, and you might just, all sorts of circumstances. If your thinking is not like that you can handle that, then you're not going to handle that job. And you'll end up losing that job. And before you lose that job, you'll be being nervous about whether you're going to lose the job or not. Because on the inside of you, you're not built. You've not built it right. Are you with me? So how do you know? Well, let's take an example. When I talked about, talked about Love Our Church. We're going to love our church. We're going to do this. I don't know if we need to switch anything on or do anything up there, do we? Any pouring of anything? Is it all okay? Just a quick reminder, I'm coming in for a landing here. We've just got a few minutes to go. Stay with me. And I was Maisel was talking about Love Our Church, right? How did you think? What's your gut initial response? Do you think, for instance, oh, here they go talking about money again? That would be one possible initial response. Well, that's most likely pretty much what you believe down on the inside. Or is the next level could be this? Your response could be, okay, well, I'll be a part of it, but I can't afford very much. That could be a response. Well, that's telling you what you've got down there on the inside of you. That's your mindset. That's your inward thinking, that I can't afford very much. Or level three would be, yeah, I was part of it last year and I'm going to be part of it again, but I can't do any more than what I'm doing. That'd be level three. That's your gut response. Or level four would be, yeah, this is exciting. What a great vision. I'm just pumped. How can I give more than I gave last time? I wish I hadn't missed out last time on the opportunity to give, but now I'm going to give more. Four different levels. Now, those things, with regard to finance, which is a key kind of acid test for our lives, tells you more or less what your inward thinking is. And it's that you're living out of. And that's determining your life. See, now when we talk like that, we realize, that's where the problem is. And I just used one example of finance, but we could talk about other areas like relationships or like prayer and healing and things like that. We believe we hear Val's testimony. Do we think, oh, that's nice for them? Or do we think, wow, if it can happen to them, it can happen to me. I must be just about next in line. Bring it on, Jesus. Wow, Pastor Carrie's going to pray. I'm going to receive it right now. That's your inward thinking. And that's what you live according to. Amen? Prosper as your soul prospers. I'm going to finish with one thought. We're going to talk more about this. Next week I probably won't get to, right? But then after that we'll continue. Would that be all right with you? And maybe I'll send some of these thoughts and e-thoughts, because I can inspire you. Keep sucking. I can inspire you. I can help you, and that's good. But actually, you need to. 140 minutes worth of information is not going to change your life. Because what you've got inward thinking now on the inside, because we've talked to you, I've talked to you quite a bit over the years about how God wants to prosper you, God wants to do you good. And if you find that actually your gut response isn't that positive as perhaps you think it should be, then you realize, okay, there's got to be some work done still on the inside of me. Amen? Because that's the issue. And there's no, and some people feel pressure when there's no pressure at all. Nobody's pressuring anybody, but if your inward response is, I'm struggling enough with even tithing on the gross, and you know, and now you're talking about something, and that you've got an inward mindset like that, an inward thinking like that. Well, as soon as anyone brings anything up, all the defenses will go up, and you'll say, gee, they're putting pressure on me, but no one's putting any pressure on anybody. It's just your inward thinking. Are you with me? Now, I'm just using that. Stay with me. I'm using it as an example of your inward. The key to the success of your life has got nothing to do with the money. I could care less, really, because God will look after us anyway. So, of course, we're doing the right thing. Of course, we encourage. But at the end of the day, I would much rather that you are happy in church and you know what I mean, that I don't care about that side of it, really. I'm really not bothered. But I'm bothered about your life. Amen? And I want you to live a great life. And I know that requires for the inside of us to be reshaped and our inward thinking to be changed. The last verse I've got, it's Romans 12 verse 2, and we won't have time to cut there because I want to close now. But Romans 12 verse 2, it says the same thing again. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Be changed. You're changed. Everyone say changed. And it's the word means like metamorphosis. It's metamorpho in the Greek. It's a process of change. In other words, starts at the ugly bug, ends up in the butterfly, and it goes through a cocoon, right? It's a process. I'm changed through a process called renewing my mind, changing my thinking. How do I do that? I let new thinking come in. You are thinking certain things because of words and experiences that you've had up to this point in your life. And if you grew up in poverty, or you grew up in a lack, you're going to have automatically a mindset, an inward thinking that expects lack. And you're going to have to work on that, to change that, because try as you might, tithe all you want, give all you want. If you don't change your mindset, you're not going to prosper. You might have grown up in a family that was angry and that related to one another angrily, or selfish, or tended to criticize. You might have grown up in a family where criticism was open. And that's what's going to be in your automatic mindset and the way you look at life and the way you bring into life. You're going to think that way. And you're going to have to change that if you want your life to change. Otherwise, you're going to keep being whatever the pattern is that's on the inside. Now, you can't relive the first 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You can't go over there again and re-experience that. But God promises that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can do something. That's why God said to Joshua, Josh, meditate, mutter, speak on, listen to, attend to, lean your ear to, Proverbs 4, my words, what I said, the way I think about it, how valuable I say you are, how much I want to prosper you. Keep attending to that and you start to renew your mind. Your mind doesn't stay renewed any more than your hair stays straightened or combed. Amen? You come back. That's why this is important. That's why being in the house of God every week and being involved and having your sucking machine switched on high is important. That's why hearing the word of God, getting those e-thoughts and paying attention to them instead of just clicking in and say, oh gee, I didn't get to them this week. Why? It's just a little thought, but the point is give attention to God's words. That's why going online and finding messages or going and ordering CDs and saying, because you're going to listen to the radio this week, you're going to listen to a whole lot of how come I can't live without him or without her. Not a wonder you got issues like that. If you would just keep pressing the word of God into your life, are you with me?
Yeah.
If you listen to that as much as you listen to the other stuff, you would start to work on transforming your mind. But you got to do it every day. You don't ever arrive at this thing. You know, if you have boofy hair and you want that hair straightened thin look, you know, then you're going to have to straighten it. And surest thing you know, if you get up every morning and you say, I'm going to straighten every morning, the rest of your life you're going to have straightened hair. And it's exactly the same. And if you will just do that every day with the word of God and get it, but you're never going to wake up. I can't promise you. Actually, I know that if you keep putting the word of God in there, things will change on the inside. But I know this, that you're not likely to ever get to a point where you just automatically think. So some people think, oh, I'm just automatically going to just think positively. No, you're going to have to make yourself and you have to work at it. Yeah. I'm going to automatically think like prosperous, blessed. No, you're going to have to make yourself. And the thoughts will come. That's why 2 Corinthians says, take thoughts captive and pull them down. No, I'm not going to think that thought. Keep the right thoughts coming in and it rebuilds the inside of you, literally. And that inside picture, that inside, as a man thinks on the inside, that's how he is. And if you want your hair straightened, just get the straighteners. And if you're going to say, oh, I don't feel like straightening them today, and you felt like that for a week and you haven't straightened your hair for a week, you're going to have boofy hair. And you can have it if you want, but that's what you're going to have. And if you're not going to attend to the word of God and say, I'm going to hear it, I'm going to apply it, I'm going to put the CD on, I'm going to be in church, I'm going to switch my sucker machine on high, I'm going to get it, I'm going to find it, I'm going to go to Bible college. If you won't do that, that'll be just like not straightening the hair. And then you complain when your hair is buffy. And you complain when your life isn't the way you want it to be. But it could have been if you just used the straighteners every day. And you can have a whole life full of straightened hair. It's not hard. Just takes a little daily application. Amen? And actually doing it. Not talking about it. Not looking at the straighteners that I think I have straightened. No, you're going to have to pick them up and switch them on. Amen? And you're going to have to do the same with the Word of God. But as you do, I'm telling you, it's the greatest key to the transforming of your life. Because it isn't what God. God thinks great thoughts about you. God thinks you're wonderfully made. But if you don't think that, you're going to live like you're not. So let's take on God's thoughts. Amen? Is enough for you to think about this week? Is enough food for you? Did you get a little gold dust? Did you suck something up? Amen. Why don't you give God some thanks? Amen. And praise.